Your Bibles, and I stand amazed. I'm like Brother Steve. I stand amazed at the love of God. How I've broke his heart and grieved him since he saved me, but he loves me still. I probably, knowing my track record, would not have even, and of course the Lord knew what our track record would be before he ever saved us. I might not have even saved me had I been gone. I might have just went to somebody that had been a little more faithful, a little more sold out. But I'm glad he loves me today. I'm thankful for that. Well, I've kind of gotten caught up in this. Well, I tell you what, let's do. I'm coming to like to do this better is pray before I get started, and then after I read, I'm ready to go. And so if you would, pray with me and for me and ask God to help us tonight. I want us to get what God has for us. I don't want us to miss out. God wants to do something in this service tonight. And so let's pray and ask his help. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you this evening. And Lord, I just want to admit again, I want to publicly say before this congregation, before you, that I'm inadequate, I'm insufficient, I'm unable to do what needs to be done in this service tonight. I know if there's any help, it'll be from you. For without you, Father, we can do nothing. Oh, God, we're so helpless. We're so needy. And you know more what this little congregation needs than I know myself. Father, you know the sheep need feeding tonight. And Lord, I just ask you to take this vessel and feed the sheep tonight. And Lord, if there's any unconfessed sin in my life, I ask you to forgive me for it and cleanse me and help me to be a vessel you can use. Father, I ask you to do what needs doing. May we leave here tonight eternally changed. Oh, God, help us now. If there's anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit, would you refrain it for just a few minutes and do in our midst what needs doing? I love you and I need you, Father. Help us, for if you don't help us, there'll be no help. You must increase. And I must decrease. Help me to get out of the way, Father, and help us to see you tonight in your great truths and teachings from your word. Help us now. We'll give you the glory for all you do. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. Well, I want to read. I used to really struggle with preachers that read a lot, maybe read a whole chapter. I used to think there wasn't a lot of reason for that because there's children that will disturb and people's focus slips away. But I'm finding the farther I go along life's way, the more I like to read the Word of God. And I said all that so I can tell you this. We're going to read the whole first chapter again. We read it a while back, but I want to read it again. And with many of you, it's a familiar text, but let's just refresh our minds by reading again. It says in verse number 1, now it came to pass, now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the company of Moab, in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. They went to sojourn, but it says they continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way, for I'm too old to have an husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. And so, if correctly read, that's the entire first chapter. And we spent a little time on our last message talking about the decisions that were made. Now, we know this, that things wasn't as bad as they thought they were. It just wasn't as bad. Naomi made a confession and said this, I went out full. Now, very well she could be talking about her family, but what she's really saying is, I had everything I needed. Now, I know there was a famine, a difficult time, and I know the children were sickly, and maybe they used those sick children. Those two names, Malon and Kilion, one means sickly, the other means pining away, I believe, is how the definition's worded. But the indication is that they were sickly or maybe just not good, healthy children. And so maybe because of the famine, maybe they justified leaving because their children had to have the proper nutrition. I don't know. We're not told much about the decision-making process, but I said this and I want to say it again. Anytime your decision takes you away, Bethlehem, Judah means house of bread and praise. And anytime your decision takes you away from the people of God and the house of God, you're making the wrong decision. Let me just say that to you again. Anytime you're evaluating a situation and you're making a decision and that decision's taking you away from a godly church and from godly people where your family's being helped and you're growing and you're prospering, when that decision takes you away from that, you're making the wrong decision. I don't care if you're doubling your income. I don't care if you're moving to a safer part of the country. When it does that, you're making the wrong decision. And so you need to always remember that. And then I said this. I said this. There's many backsliders that have justified their ungodly moves by their circumstances or their family. And I said, too, on the last message, you need to always ask yourself this question: the decision I'm getting ready to make, how is it going to affect my family and myself spiritually? Always ask yourself that. Very important thing. Let me say it again. God will never lead you away from a godly church to an ungodly church. He'll never lead you away from a spiritual church to a carnal church. It does not work that way. God's not that kind of God. He's not going to take you backwards. And so if you find that, we've seen a lot of folks come and go through here for various reasons, and many of them's left and went to a church that will not preach against sin, will not stand on the King James Bible and other issues that we stand on around here. And they said God led them to do that. They're confused. That may hurt some of your feelings if it's your family or your loved ones, but the fact of the matter is, God will never lead you away from a godly church to a carnal and worldly church. Be sure about that. And so ask yourself these questions. How's it going to affect my family? And how's it going to affect me? And had Elimelech and Naomi done that, they might have made some different decisions. They might have made some different decisions. And so I challenge you there. They went to sojourn, but they continued there. And then I said this. We always go to Luke 15 and we talk about the prodigal and we rejoice in the fact that he came back home, but not all prodigals make it back. Not all prodigals make it back. There was four prodigals headed out, Bethlehem, Judah that day. Only one made it back. Only one made it back. Samson never made it back. I know he was restored, but he died in enemy territory. He died in enemy territory. And so be real careful about leaving the house of God and the people of God. Be real careful about that. Well, that's some of the things we talked about last week just by way of remembrance. I wanted to bring them up. And so now Ruth is left, I say alone. She had two good daughter-in-laws that was with her, but as far as her immediate family or her husband, two sons, she's left alone. She's buried three children in Moab. But after this has happened, she received some good news. She received some good news. We call good news, the word gospel means a good news message. Now this wasn't the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ she received, but it was a message that she had heard. And I want to read that verse to you if I can find it. Verse number 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. Now, for this thing to turn around, she heard some good news. It doesn't say she looked out over the fields of Bethlehem, Judah, and saw the fields white and ready to harvest and knew there was going to be plenty. It wasn't sight that caused Naomi to make her move. Can I tell you? It was a message that she heard. And I want to say to you, if we're ever going to have an impact on anybody's life, Brother Allen, any sinner, any wayward saint, any individual that needs help, we're going to have a good news message to share with them. That's just how it is. Some way she heard. It doesn't tell us who told her. It may have been just a couple of passerbyers, and her just happened to ask, how's everything down at Bethlehem, Judah? I don't know. But she heard. She heard a good news message, and that message created a desire in her heart to return to Bethlehem, Judah. You would have thought had Naomi, the fact that she had buried a husband and two children, it would not have even been a consideration to go back. But the fact of the matter was, there was power in this good news message she heard. And I want to tell you, there's power in the message of this blessed old book. I think what the devil has brought us to, he has caused God's men, I say it so much, I know you're tired of hearing it, to be entertainers and comedians and performers at the sake of preaching what thus saith the Word of God. And I believe because of that, we tickle a few ears and we make folks feel good, but the fact of the matter is we're not giving anything that can move the heart, because it's the truth of the Word of God that's going to work on your heart. And so here she is, and she receives a good news message. And so she decides from this message that she's heard, she's not seen. I'm not even sure she's verified that it's true, Brother Allen. I think she's in such a shape, just the thought of some help, just the thought of getting around some folks that understand who she is and her heritage and know about her. I think that's enough to motivate her to want to go back. And so we see in verse number 6 that she arose, and the Bible tells us this, with her daughters-in-law. She's got her daughters-in-law with her, and they are Moabites by their birth, and they've married into the family, I know that, and they're going to go with her. They're going to head back with her. And so the Bible says in verse 7, wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi does something that strikes me odd. I would think, if I was writing this story, I don't know if I would have wrote this like it happened. And Naomi, in verse number 8, said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. Go, return each to her mother's house. Now here's what they have done. They have purposed in their heart. I like the word resolve. They're resolved, we're going with God's child back to the house of God, the house of bread, the house of praise. We're going back with Naomi. They had made up their mind. That's what they're going to do. And now the child of God says, hey, go back to your family. That strikes me odd. Now, many think Naomi, and maybe so, maybe rightfully so, I don't know that I can dogmatically say that in my heart about this text, but many think Naomi is trying to prove the degree of their resolve. In other words, if they're not serious, she don't want to waste time with them. If they're not serious, and that very well could be. But here is a child of God saying, go back to your idols. Go back to your pagan people. And it seems like, one fellow said this, we ought to be real careful listening to the advice for somebody who's left the house of bread and praise. There may be some truth to that. I'm going to tell you, I don't know that I'd want to take spiritual advice. I don't know what we could call Ruth a backslider, or Naomi a backslider, but I don't know the right word, but she's not where she's supposed to be. We know that. She's going in the right direction now, but she hadn't arrived at her destination. And so, and by the way, sometimes direction's more important than destination. You may not be where you're supposed to be, but if you're going in the right direction, sooner or later you're going to get there. And Naomi's doing that. And I'm not trying to be critical of her, but she's not where she's supposed to be at this point. But she's giving out advice. And I say, be careful of somebody giving spiritual advice who's not where they're supposed to be. Be careful about that. They may get you sideways. And so here they are. She says this, go return each to her mother's house. And I want to say this, let me just back up a little bit and say this. You're not going far with the Lord unless you have resolved that you're going. Unless you've purposed in your heart, I'm going with the Lord. Really, I'm really back to the three Hebrew children we talked about this morning. They purposed in their heart, they're going with God. And here's these two girls, they purposed to go with the child of God back to the to God's house, if we can say it that way. I mean, they'd purposed in the heart, we're going back to God. Now Ruth's saying, hey, you need to go back to your mom and daddy and back to your pagan gods. Just go back. You see, here they had resolved, and this is really what I want to talk to you tonight. The devil's attack against the child of God's resolve. The devil's attack. Resolve means you purpose, you commit. You have made it your mind, you're going to do something. And so, here we come down, and Naomi says, there's three times. She tells Ruth three times, go back, return. You don't want to go with me. You get back to your family. And three different reasons, I think. And I wonder tonight, where's our church's resolve? Are we going on with God? Have we arrived? Are we where we're supposed to be? Are we even going in the right direction? Don't you think that's something we ought to ask ourselves? Don't you think that's something we ought to evaluate? Hey, am I where I want to be? Have I arrived? Am I in the perfect will of God for my life? My, here's these girls, and they both have resolved purposed or committed or whatever words you want to use that they're going on. And Naomi, an unlikely character, says, go back. And why would she say that? Why is she telling them to go back? She said this, the Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. Now here's what Naomi's saying, you're good girls. You've been good daughter-in-laws. You've been good husbands, good wives to your husbands, my sons. And so she's kindly setting them up. And then she says this, the Lord grant ye that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, they lifted their voice, and wept bitterly. And so we see Naomi tells them, if you'll go back, if you won't go on, if you'll stay where you're at, you're gonna be prosperous. Isn't that what the devil tells a lot of God's people when they resolve to serve the Lord? Here's what she said. You can go back, go return each to her mother's house. You're going to have a house to live in. I don't even have a house, girls. And if you'll go back, if you'll go back to Moab, you can move right in with your family. You'll have a house to live in, food on the table, roof over your head. I mean, if you'll just stay down here, it's going to be a lot better for you prosperity-wise than it's going to be if you go with me. That's what the devil's going to tell you when you resolve to follow God. What he's going to tell you. And it very well could be the case. Do you know what else she said? You're going to find a husband. You're going to find a husband down there. My, they lost their husbands. No doubt young women and maybe with ambition or desires to be married again and maybe have a family like most young folks are. And she said, each of you, you're going to find rest in the house of your husband. And so we see they would be rewarded with their family. They'd be rewarded with a place to live. They'd be rewarded with rest and even a future husband. And here's what I want you to get. When you say, I'm going with God, the devil's going to come and say, hey, here's what you could have. Here's what you can have. You just stay where you're at. Don't go on. Stay down here in the world, the type Moab type of the world. Stay here, and you can have these things of the world. And you know what that is? That's an attack against your commitment, your consecration, your resolve to follow God. And so here's what happened. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept, and they said unto her, listen to how this is Orpah and Ruth both. Surely. They used the word surely. Orpah used the word surely. Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Oh, I know it'll be better for us. I know we could have a house. I know we might find a husband. But surely we're going with you. My, everything seems good at this point, doesn't it? I mean, they didn't succumb to the temptation of prosperity and the good life, if I can say it that way. They said, surely we're going with you. And notice that the second time Naomi comes back, and Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husband? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. What's she saying now? First of all, she said this, you're going to miss out on your prosperity. But secondly, she said, there's too many problems if you go with me. She said, there's going to be one problem right after another that's going to hinder you. She said this, I'm past the childbearing years. Now, to appreciate what's being said, you all know this, if a man died and left his wife, his brother, back in those days, his brother would take that wife and bear seed for that for his deceased brother. And here's what she's saying, I've not got any more son. There's no more sons. And that's going to be a problem for you. I know you want to marry. You're young and you want to have children. I'm past childbearing years. We've got a problem. If you go with me, there's problems about your life. Not only are you going to miss out prosperity-wise, but you're just going to face one problem after another. In verse 12, she says, if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them? Would you tarry for them? In other words, she said this, what if I could marry girls and I could have children? Would you wait till they was marrying age? Would you be willing to put your life on hold? You know what she's saying? There's too many problems. You're going with me thinking things are going to be better. You'll be a lot more prosperous down there. And if you go with me, it's going to be one problem, one after another, and you're not going to realize what you need for a good life. And so we see the second attack by the devil is this. Not only will he attack you and say, hey, you're going to miss out prosperity-wise. Look down at the Joneses, what they're building. Look down at the Joneses, where they live. Look down at the Joneses, how their children dress. Look down there at the Joneses, how popular they are. And you're missing out on all that. The devil does that to God's people. If you're serious about serving God, it's going to cost you something. It always has. Brother Allen, it costs something to serve God. It's not a free ride, Brother Steve. But I want to tell you, obedience is a lot more... I don't want to use the word cheap, but it's a lot less to pay than disobedience is. The price tag on this, let me say it this way, the price tag on disobedience is much higher than the price tag on obedience. You better write that down somewhere. You better get that in your mind. If you decide you're going against God, hey, can I tell you, it's going to cost you a lot more than it cost you to obey God. That's just how it is. And so here she is, and she's telling them, she's saying, hey, we got some problems. And the devil will say that to you. If you're resolved to follow God, he'll say, you can't do that because of this. You can't do that. You're not able to. You don't have the ability to. You don't have the personality for it. You're just dreaming. You're just thinking that. Hey, how are you gonna take care of your family and do that? How are you going to the mission field? He'll give you 20 reasons why you can't go to the mission field. This problem, that problem. How are you going to take care of your family? If you're going to give the faith promise, how are you going to be able to take care of your family? And on, we could just pick whatever we want to pick. He just throws problems at God's people. God's people resolve, I'm going with God, I'm going with the people of God. And the first thing he says, hey, you're going to lose out prosperity-wise. And then he says, hey, you're going to have this problem and that problem and this problem. And my, he gets God's people down in the dumps. And that one that said, surely, Orpah said, surely we will return with thee. But now when Naomi has thrown these problems at Orpah, that surely has changed. And so many of God's people at times in their life, maybe some of you sitting here on these pews, you said, surely, surely I'm going with God. I don't care what it is. I don't care what the cost is. God save my unworthy soul and save my family. I'm going with God. But now all of a sudden that surely, you're starting to waffle a little bit. You're starting to waffle around and you're thinking about that. And here's the Orpah. My, there's so much we could say about Orpah, but this attack of problems, this testing of problems revealed that her resolve wasn't what it ought to be, ought to have been. And I want to say to us, many times we think we've resolved to follow God, but really we may be fooled. We may be able to be talked out of it, and if we can, the devil's going to talk us out of it. And that's where she's at. You see, there's much we could say about Orpah. I've thought about Orpah. I think the majority. I'm going to say something. Maybe this would be offensive, but I think many. I start saying majority. Many church members are Orpahs. They may be Orpahs sitting right on our pew tonight. Very well could be. There's been a time you said, surely I'm going with God. But then there's a little challenge with problems or prosperity. And all of a sudden you realize that. By the way, did you know Ruth and Orpah looked the same on the outside? Rusty, they both wept. I think they both loved Naomi. I think on the outside they looked exactly alike. They were both emotional. And you know, I'm not against emotion. I don't know how you serve God without some emotion. I'm just saying that. And I know people run around talking about shallow emotionalism. And I understand all that. And I know it's more than emotion. But here's Orpah, and that's all she's got's emotion. There's nothing on the inside. Ruth's emotional, but she has something to go with it. My, let me tell you, if you're just emotional, you're going to miss out. If you're just about weeping and crying, please don't let me hinder you truly serving and praising God. I'm not saying that at all. I want you to. I'm blessed when people testify and when people weep and rejoice over what God's done for them. That blesses my heart. I'm about that. But I want to tell you, there's a crowd out there. And all they're about's working up some kind of shallow emotional experience, and God's not in 100 miles of it. Amen. I would have had more amens than that, but that's so. I'm telling you right this evening. There's folks out there and it's all emotion and nothing on the inside, and they're just little orphans waiting to turn back on God. That's right. Here's Orpha. And she's outwardly the same as Ruth, but not inwardly. Not inwardly. And so we see some little truths here about her. You see, she had, here's what one writer said, she had feelings but not faith. She had feelings but not faith. Faith will create feelings. But all she had was feelings. Orpha may have had a touch of materialism about her life. She may have. She really wasn't operating on biblical principles. If she knew Ruth, if she knew Naomi was a godly woman and served the true and living God, Orpha's really turned her back on the Lord. Many of God's people, the real love is for Moab. You love Moab tonight? Hey, what does it say? Let me turn over here. Something just crossed my mind here, if I can find it right quick. Hebrews 11, it says this, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Talking about them old patriarchs, the fathers, I guess we'd say, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they could have returned. Abraham didn't have to stay where he was. If he had chose to, he could have returned back to the land of Ur, the Chaldees. My, here's Orpha. She started and she meant good and it looked good on the outside. But when she was challenged with the potential problems that might come along, she caved in. Her resolve was not what it ought to be. I want to say this again to you. I said it this morning. What would it take for you to turn back? Is that a fair question to ask you? Is that a fair question for you to consider? What would it take for you to turn back? What would have to happen? What could the devil bring your way that would cause you to turn back to Moab? Are you resolved to go with God regardless of the problem? It's something to think about. It's something to think about. Here's where Orpha and Ruth separated. Here's where you see the difference. Ruth was real. Ruth was real. Orpha was emotional. And I want you to notice too, that's two of the tests. You're going to miss out on the good things of life. And if you go with me, there's going to be all kinds of problems. But then I want you to notice verse 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people, and unto her gods return thou after thy sister-in-law. I don't know. We might could call this, just for the sake of our alliteration, the test of popularity. I don't know if that's a good word to use with two people involved in it. But here's what Naomi said to Ruth. Look, Orpha's gone back. You need to follow her. You need to do what she's doing. You need to do what everybody else is doing. That's what the devil will tell you. You need to do what everybody else is doing. You need to follow the majority of the religious world. My, return thou after thy sister-in-law. This test is just for Ruth alone, nobody else. Here's what you're going to find out. As you go along with God, there'll be fewer and fewer people go with you. That's right. I'm telling you right. If you're serious about serving God as you go along, somewhere you're going to feel alone. Just how it is. Not everybody that's saved, not everybody that's faithful Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night is going on with God. They're not going to do it. You can say whatever you want. They can get up and weep and squall about being a failure and all those things, but they don't intend to go on with God. And that's just how it is. I've seen it. I've seen it with my own eyes. I thought surely if God got in a place and He was there, that people just go with God. Fact of the matter is they won't. They draw a line and say, this far as I'm going. A lot of Orpahs in the house of God. I'm not just talking about here. I'm talking about, let's just say, Independent Baptists as a whole. There's a lot of Orpahs out there. Here's what Naomi said. Just go on back with her. Just go on back. Just follow her. Go back to your gods. Go back to your religion. Go back to your paganism. But here's what Ruth said. I'm not going back. Brother Steve, that stirs in my soul. That stirs in my soul this evening. I'm not going back. I'm going with you. I want you to look at her resolve. Probably one of the most beautiful passages of Scripture there is. Notice verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. You know what Ruth said? Quit trying to get me to go back. I'm not going back. You might as well quit. She said, don't quit trying to talk me into going back. Hey, I tell you what would be good for a lot of you is to tell that crowd that's trying to get you to go a different route, you need to quit telling me that. I'm going with God. Quit talking to them. You know what? That's the voice of someone that says, I don't want to be tempted. I don't want you tempting me anymore to turn back. Entreat. Listen to what she said. Entreat me not to leave thee. Quit telling me to leave thee. Or to return from falling after thee. And then she says this, for whither thou goest. Let me read it exactly right. For whither thou goest, I will go. Here's what she said. I've charted my course. Isn't that what she said? I've charted my course. Naomi, I've made up my mind the route I'm going. I'm going God's way. Have you charted your course? You going with God? She said, where you go, I'm going. And then she said this, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. She knew where she's going to dwell at. She said, if you're going back to the house of bread and praise, that's where I'm going to be. Where you're at is where I'm going to be. She's dwelling. She knows where she's going. By the way, she didn't say, where thou lodgest, I'll lodge if the house is a good house. Where thou lodgest, I'll lodge if you've got a good solid roof and you've got plenty of groceries in the house, and that's where I'm going to lodge. She placed no restrictions on it. She said this, where God's people's at, where you're at, where God's people's at, that's where I'm going to be. I'm going with God's people. My, what a resolve. We need that today. You know as well as I do, people are defecting to false religions and watered down and carnal situations in their life. But here's what she said, where you lodge, that's where I'm lodging. Where you go, that's where I'm going. And then she said this, and thy people shall be my people. And then she said this, this is what it's all leading up to, and thy God, my God. She said, listen, you know what Naomi, in all of her struggles, Naomi had had an impact on this young girl. She'd impacted her life. She saw something in Naomi that was real. She saw that Naomi was the real deal and served the true and the living God. And she said, hey, where you go, I'm going. Where you dwell, I'm going to dwell. And where your people are, thy people's going to be my people. And thy God's going to be my God. And she said, I want you to know it's not going to be for a little while. It's not going to be for a year or two. But she said this, where thou diest, will I die, and there I'll be buried. She didn't know how she'd be received by the people of God. She didn't know what it would hold. But she said, Naomi, I'm true to you till death. I'm going to be with you until I die. I'm going to stay with you and your God and your people till death overtakes me. That's a resolve. I mean, that's a purposed heart. And notice what happens. When you purpose and people realize you're serious, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Said, okay, if that's how you're going to have it, then that's how it's going to be. Let's go. Let's go. Are you resolved tonight? Hey, I could tell you, I really ought to tell you this. Can I tell you that when Ruth got back, when Naomi got back, Ruth got in. Until Naomi got back, and I probably said this last week, but until Naomi got back to the house of God and praise, Ruth was never redeemed. Naomi had to get right before Ruth could be redeemed. I want to tell you, church, be sure you're right. Be sure you're not standing in the way of sinners. Don't play, church. It's not worth it. Don't play. Be serious about this thing. If you're down in Moab, get up to Bethlehem, Judah. Get serious. There may be souls at stake. My, here they are. They came back. And can I say, because Ruth went the right way with the right people and located in the right place, can I say God used her in a great way. You all know the story. She ran in to Boaz, the kinsman redeemer. She had a little baby named Obed. I believe it was Obed. Was Obed, was that the grandfather, great-grandfather? Great-grandfather, wasn't it, of King David? Here's a little Moabitess woman. Because she purposed in her heart she's going with God no matter what, God let her have a part in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. I say hallelujah to that. You see, the cost was worth the reward, wasn't it? And I want to say that to you today. If you'll go with God, the cost will be far less than the reward will be one of these days. Church, let's go with God. I don't know how to say that any other way. I know, maybe we're weak and we're strugglers and we're everything else. But let's purpose in our heart. We're going with God. If nobody else goes, would you purpose to go with God and God's people and stay with the true church? Would you purpose that in your heart tonight? The devil will come at you. He'll attack your resolve. He'll attack your consecration or your commitment or your purposed heart. And he'll use the very things I mentioned. He'll use the problems and the prosperity and the popularity to try to attack that. But would you be resolved like Ruth? Father, I'm going with you. I say this to y'all sometime, and I do mean this. I charted my course a long time ago. I charted my course, and I plan to see it through. My course is not where the majority of God's people are going today. My course is a different course, and I've had to really question myself and look at myself and make sure I was right. But I want to tell you, the old time way is right, church. I know it's right. It's not a doubt in my mind. Holy living's right. It's just right. I know people call you a legalist. They'll call you everything in the world, holier than thou and everything else. But God wants his children to be a holy people. That's just how it is, church. And this thing's not about entertainment or putting on a performance. It's about the preaching of the Word of God. That's the only thing going to help you. It's all that's going to help you when the dust is settled. I've charted. You say, well, what are we going to do around here? We're going to preach and pray and praise the Lord. I believe that'll get it done. I believe that'll get it done. I know we're going to evangelize. We're going to do all, carry out the Great Commission, those things. But that's going to be what's going to go on around here. And if that don't work, you know what we're looking for new ways. And he said, ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way. Instead of us looking around to see what everybody else do, we ought to look back, see how they done it 100 years ago, the old paths. That's the good way. That's the good way. We ought to be going back instead of forward. My, I want to ask you, where's your resolve tonight? I don't know. Here's little Orpha. She went back. She was right on the outside, but not on the inside. And I'm afraid that's where a lot of God's people are. Are you resolved to go with God until death? She said this, where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. How about you? Have you resolved to go with God tonight? Let's bow our heads. Brother Allen, would you come with a song? I just want to give you a chance. I don't know. Maybe nobody needs to come. Maybe we're right where we need to be. But I want to ask you, if God spoke to your heart, would you resolve tonight? Hey, if you don't, the devil will talk you out of it before you get home if you're not careful. Would you resolve to go with God? We're going to have Brother Allen start. You can sing when you get ready. God spoke to your heart. These altars are open tonight.